Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This afternoon's show is entitled, Blessed Are the Powerful Ones, Whose Ways Are Blameless, Contra Postmodernism. So I'm going to be speaking this afternoon from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is unique in the scriptures for many, many reasons, many technical reasons that we will not discuss today. However, what I want to emphasize is the fact that this psalm is based on the 22 consonants of the Hebrew alphabet, and so it is an acrostic. There are 8 verses for each letter of the alphabet. We know that the Hebrew language was derived from the Semitic family of languages in Western Asia. And Isaiah said that God's people spoke the lip of Canaan. So it is a very, very powerful language that is Hebrew, which evolved from Hebrew pictograms, and what we're going to look at this afternoon are some very interesting aspects of Psalm 119, verse 1. So I'm going to read, and it reads as follows. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law or the Torah of the Lord. So this is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And notice the first word, blessed or blessed. It is from a pictogram that means to bow the knee. And the picture is that of a camel bowing the knee so that the rider can dismount. So that is the literal pictorial meaning of the word blessed or blessed. So you also would also note that it is a verb followed by are, a state of being verb. And notice how these two words are placed at the beginning of the sentence for syntactic emphasis. Blessed are, and I have in parentheses the powerful ones. And I would say that the people of God are powerful because they, when they walk with God as they should, when they are in constant, uninterrupted, abiding fellowship in God, they are indeed filled with power because they are continuously in the presence of God. And so it is, this is what I mean by the powerful ones. Now, if you notice carefully, the writer states in verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way. And so when one walks close with God, one is undefiled or unpolluted by the cosmos or the cosmic system as it is described in New Testament Greek. And so the cosmos is adorned in such a way as to attract the eye, that is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life are of the cosmos and are not of God. these serve as a distraction to the people of God. And so we would do well to be mindful of this reality. Here is biblical mindfulness, to understand that our distinctiveness, our power is derived from Him. When we walk close with God, we put off the things of the flesh, the sarks, as Paul speaks about it in the book to the Romans. Please read the book of Romans. It is Paul's treatise on the flesh and what it is and what it does to believers. And please read the letter to Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah deals with the flesh and its destructive powers. Jeremiah deals with the psychopathology of the flesh. Paul tells us what it is, and Jeremiah shows what it does. Paul also illustrates what the flesh is too and what it does. And so the Bible is filled with information from which we can draw astute and appropriate conclusions about how you and I are to walk before God. Blessed are the undefiled. God is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. This is the way the writer to the book of Hebrews spoke about the person of Jesus. Now, those who say heaven is their destiny, indeed, our politeuma is in heaven, that is, our citizenship is in heaven, then John, in 1 John chapter 3, says that you and I will be changed. He says, beloved, we don't know what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him, that is Jesus, for we shall see Him as He is. And so we want there to be this clear understanding that when we talk about the Word of God and who we are to be, we avoid religiosity and more specifically postmodern religiosity with its display, with its pageantry, which is with its emptiness. Please read Isaiah chapter 1. And Isaiah chapter 1 talks about how God rejected the religious formalism of His people. God said, don't do this. Because God knew that they were sick from head to foot. And yet, they held on to religious formalism that God rejected. So, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever an individual sows, that he or she shall reap. Blessed are the powerful ones whose ways are blameless. There is nothing that one can lay to the account of these individuals, because they display within their character the living Christ. So, even though they may have enemies that may heap ridicule, scorn, and blasphemies against them, because of who they are, these individuals know whose they are. And they are following the living God. And they live in such a way that the world may reject them for who they are, but their lives are a testimony to the saving activity of God through Christ Jesus, our Savior. We live in a day that needs our testimony. The Western world needs our testimony. The Western world is a place where the gospel is sorely needed. The United States needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. The United States Corporation needs Christ Jesus. And so it is imperative that those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity and live in such a way as to be a testimony. And we, you and I, understand the legal definition of testimony. Testimony is a very powerful word in the New Testament. It is a very powerful word in the Old Testament. Blessed are the powerful ones whose ways are blameless, because God will use them in a remarkable and powerful way. These individuals understand what the scripture means, what Paul means in Ephesians 6, when he says that we're to do what? We're to have on the armor of God. We're to put on the armor of God. The verb tenses there mean we're to put on the armor of God and never take it off. Paul writes also that, for we wrestle not against blood and flesh, but against principalities, powers. Now, in the Greek, the word wrestle means to vibrate against, to vibrate against. Paul was speaking about spiritual warfare, and Paul was speaking about spiritual entities who are at war with us because we belong to the living Christ. For we vibrate not against blood and flesh, but against principalities and powers. You see the difference. And that we are at war with this unseen yet powerful realm that seeks to undermine and to destroy our witness and our testimony, and to seek to have us enamored by the things of this world. Paul writes, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Where is your fire? Are you around a group of individuals that have systematically or subtly taken away your fire for God, your desire to live for God? Have you been manipulated? Have you been made to feel little, or has your faith been truncated by those who want to live according to this age? And you know in your heart that it is wrong, and that you want to live for God. You are, have a hunger for God and His Word and His purpose for your life. And yet you are around individuals that don't want you to have the power of the Spirit. Then why are you still there? Why are you around those who have no desire for God and who live in the flesh, who have chosen to do the things of the flesh, and who do not want God because they want what the world has to offer? Remember, Paul wrote, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved. The Greek word there for loved is agape, having loved this present age. Word love there is the same word that's used in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God has a plan for you. God has a calling for you. Listen to God. Follow God and do His will. You will have a life of wonderful and deep and rich satisfaction if you follow Him. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and God bless you.